On Thursday night, we were having a Christmas dinner for Violet's class. One of the cool things about Violet's class this year and last year is that a lot of the families also have a child that is Felix's age. A lot of them go to the same kindy. And so that means that a lot of our kind of events can overlap and things like that. On Thursday, the kids were very excited to go out to dinner. And so after the kindy kids are picked up, the parents will meet again at school to pick up the school kids. So at school, I was talking to another dad about going to dinner for Violet's class. And his daughter, one of Felix's kindy friends, comes up to me and she says, "Will you be able to bring Felix to dinner tonight?" And I said, "Yes, I can." She was overjoyed with excitement and she turns to her dad and says, "Felix is going to come to dinner tonight." And then she turns to me again with a rather serious look on her face and she says, "Will you be able to bring Violet for my older sister as well?" I said, "Yes." And she's overjoyed and she turns to her father again to celebrate the news. And then she yells out to her sister that Violet will come to dinner tonight as well, when the whole dinner was for Violet to go there for Violet and her friends. Christmas time is a time of hope and excitement. It was seen so beautifully in this little girl's attitude. However, after that meeting, I go from there and I go home and I have to make sure that all the kids are wearing the right thing for dinner. I have to coordinate with Melinda, who's going to come home, so that we can then go together. And we don't want to be too late because there's an elders meeting at 7:30, and so we need to get to the restaurant early to order food, and food that everyone will eat, so that we can get there before all the other parents rush and want their food at the same time, and so that we can have fun with the kids. But then when I do get home, the kids want to dress fancy. And Felix's idea of fancy this time is to wear a mermaid tail with no shirt. And when you say, "Well, you need to wear a shirt, buddy," he says, "Well, mermaids don't wear shirts." And I was like, "Well, you got me there." And then the next day is Black Friday, which means sales. And then I have a fear of missing out on the good bargains for the things that I may want, but I don't really need. And then that just gets stressful. And then we need to take the car to get the aircon fixed the next morning so that we're ready for that. And we have to leave the house early so that we can go there. And then we don't really know where the aircon place is. And our calendar is full and it is filling up. And the excitement and hope that that little girl had about catching up with friends seems like a far away ideal for my Christmas this year. So if Christmas is about hope, what will that hope look like? This Advent season, we'll be working through the candles in the Advent wreath and seeing how we can have the Christmas that lines up with those qualities. The qualities that we know Christmas for. Now, you can see these ideals up around the room. We have hope, joy, love, and Noel. Each week, we will look at a different one so we can have a hopeful, joyful, peaceful, and Noel Christmas. Now, it's not Noel, it's obviously Noel, which is the French word for Christmas. We don't have I think it's either peace or faith is the other one. We lit the prophecy candle today, which is the candle that symbolises hope. And we'll be looking at the gospel accounts to see how these ideals work or how they do not work for us sometimes. Now, when the Gospel of Luke starts, which is what Shannon read to us, it starts at a time when the Jews are tired. They've had 400 years of silence from God, and they are suffering under Roman occupation. They're seeing their culture slowly erode from underneath them as everything becomes just a bit more Greek. For a Jew, being a Jew means closeness and connection with God, but the Greek ways of doing things have infiltrated their culture. And their religious elites seem to spend most of their time just trying to hold on to whatever power that they can. Their king, Herod, is not a real Jew, but a puppet king put in place by the Romans. It's a time of struggle and not a great time for hope. The trustworthy prophets prophesied over 400 years ago that God's king would come and fix things, but that has not happened yet. We are 2,000 years later and we have just been through a time of upheaval. Bushfires in Australia followed by a pandemic and race riots, radical social change, and now inflation is rising to ruin our Christmas. We know that the mental health of people is struggling. We know that the children are our future, but they seem to be struggling also. We're in a time in history where time seems to be speeding up. We have more pressures on us to get more done and be more in a day than in the past. With mobile phones on the internet, I can process more information from stories all over the world than ever before. Gone are the days when you would have to wait for the morning paper to tell you what you needed to know about what was happening in the world that day. Now we have access to news and new news 24/7. There was a time when the time of society was set by the church bell. Now your only limits are what you decide to do for yourself. In our state, they have just introduced Sunday morning trading for shops, so there is now no time in which society does not work. Even in our leisure, I have more TV shows and movies to catch up on in streaming services than I have time or a desire to do. I get to the point where I'm not even sure if I enjoy the show I watch. I just know that I need to watch it because otherwise I'll fall behind and I'll miss the next big show and I need to finish that and then catch up on the next show. I get so busy trying to have fun that it is sometimes no fun at all. The problem with this speeding up and keeping on moving is that it can alienate us from the world. We lose our sense of purpose. We substitute busyness for meaning. And you can feel like you're just ticking off the next item on your to-do list. And it's no wonder why our mental health services are under so much pressure. So then what is the answer? How can we get reconnected? How can we feel like our lives are important and meaningful in the world? How can we live with the excitement and hope of a child? Well, I think the world knows that this is the problem. If you ask someone what Christmas is about, you ask them about the Santas and the fake snow that is hung up around, and they'll probably tell you that it's for kids. Parents and grandparents enjoy Christmas because they experience the joy and excitement of children. The hope that they experience, that the kids experience at getting coloured hunks of plastic, or those toys that don't seem to make much sense. I remember being a kid and my parents turning up their nose at the sorts of toys that I wanted, thinking they were weird. And now I'm a parent and I watch those toy ads and those toys don't make any sense at all, but my kids want them anyway. We watched the Christmas pageant this year from the safety of our holiday rental in Goolwa while the storms raged around everywhere else. Now, I'm not a South Australian, so the pageant doesn't hold a fond place in my childish, nostalgic heart. But I liked watching it well enough. It's interesting to see what rituals we have in our society that have meaning. They had the welcome to country at the start from a Kaurna person, as that is the ritual that is important to our society, to recognise the traditional owners of the land. We then got a quick glimpse of the nativity float as it passed by, and then onto the floats that sold businesses. There was a truck from the latest Netflix kids Christmas movie, which there were ads for that movie in the break, ad breaks as well. Selling stuff is a big part of Christmas these days. It then ended with Santa, and the whole time they made a big deal that Santa was going to bring a Christmas message. Now, maybe I am too Christian, but when someone says that Santa's going to bring a Christmas message, I think of a sermon. So I was doubly interested as to what it was he was going to do. I thought about Santa in The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, which I read to my kids recently. He comes as a forerunner to Aslan, a herald bringing gifts so that the animals knew and children knew that the world was being fixed, the Saviour was coming. On Channel 9, they spruiked this Christmas message a few times, and then when Santa finally got up to speak, Kate Collins was there and she said, "We are just dying to hear what your Christmas message is for us, Santa." And then Santa spoke, and I have recorded the entirety of his message here. It's wonderful to be back in Adelaide and see those beautiful smiling faces despite the rain. They were just beautiful. I wish you peace and love for Christmas and every day of the year. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. And then confetti cannons shot out all around him, and it was wonderful. It struck me as something that was just so manufactured. It was a meaning made to please children and sell things. Now, there's nothing too wrong with that. But it's just interesting that the way that adults find meaning and hope in Christmas is through the enjoyment of children. We're so desperate to connect with something greater than ourselves, to experience connection and resonance. So we're captivated by children because they experience the uncynical connection with hope and life. We can have a tendency to fill our lives with busyness and speed, and it can have an alienating effect. Life just keeps moving on as if in black and white. So then how can we have an experience of real hope in Christmas, like a child wanting to go to dinner with their friends? Well, the Christmas story in Luke opens with Zechariah, an old priest who has lost hope in having children. His life has passed by, and so there is probably little hope that he will see the Messiah. He has been given the great honour and chosen by lot to go and burn incense in the temple while the rest of the priests were outside praying. Now, this is supposed to be a great moment of connection with God. He was coming to be in God's presence and pray, probably pray for the Messiah to come and rescue them. And then an angel appears before him to tell him that he and his wife will have a son who will be filled with the Holy Spirit and will turn many people in Israel back to God. He will go in the spirit of Elijah and prepare the people for God. This is all of his hopes and prayers, all the prophecies that he would know about are about to be fulfilled. And an angel has appeared in the temple to tell him this. And Zechariah's response is to say that he actually needs a sign to say that that would happen because his wife is too old, so they can't have a baby. After the many years that Zechariah has experienced, even though he is a priest who is supposed to connect the people with God, when he experiences a time in God's presence and an angel appears, it's still hard for him to hope. And he disbelieves the angel. Now, this is an interesting point in the story because the angel gives him the sign he's looking for, but his sign is also a rebuke. God does not look on his lack of hope and change his mind and choose someone else, but he makes sure that Zechariah knows he was mistaken not to hope and trust. So the angel Gabriel says that Zechariah will not be able to talk until these things have taken place. After this, just as the angel said, Zechariah's wife, Elizabeth, conceived. Zechariah was in a role where everything he did was a reflection of who God was and God's history of coming through for his people. And yet for Zechariah, it seemed that he had run out of hope. So when God was moving and changing the world, he was going to miss it. Now, we are quite a while later from Zechariah. Zechariah would have longed to have seen and known what was about to happen in the story after that. And our society at the moment is experiencing a hope drought, even in the church. We have filled up our lives and become alienated, and the colours are no longer as bright. We turn to stories manufactured to sell toys so that we can feel the excitement of children. So then what is the answer? How can we capture some of that hope, resonance, and enjoyment in life? Now, I suspect that this is not the experience of everyone here. I'm basing a lot of this on the work of Andrew Root as he's adapted the work of the sociologist Harmut Rosa. Now, I just give you those names so that you know that I've been reading stuff. Now, I would say that some of us can relate to some of it. Maybe not every day, not every week, but perhaps sometimes we experience this lack of hope or the dreariness of life day to day. Now, if you're retired, you may not feel the busyness as you have extra time on your hands, but you might still feel the alienation that can happen, being cut off from connection. I think it's handy for us to identify some of this experience, especially when it does feel hard to hope. Now, there is something in the pure enjoyment of a child. They feel connected with the world around them. The world is still dangerous and mysterious and exciting. And so the highs are high and the lows are low. I can see it when I play with the kids at playgroup and with my own children. There's an experience of resonance, feeling something real and meaningful. The other times that I can feel that is when I'm with someone who is really struggling and they open up and we share in that struggle. Now, I would say that we experienced moments like that in our last AGM, where when we are faced with the task ahead, when we are vulnerable with each other, the world just becomes that much more real and important. We feel that resonant connection through the sadness we experience. This is the sort of experience that we sometimes have when we're watching a movie that's really sad and we cry at the end. Someone's experiencing incredible sorrow, but after they've finished watching the sad movie, you ask them how it was and they say, "Oh, that movie was great. I bawled my eyes out. It was wonderful." It's because we felt connection with something bigger. When we connect with each other in our joys and our sorrows, we're living the community that God wants us to be. Not people glued to devices cultivating experiences that are informative but distant. I can read about the struggles of my friends and see their holiday snaps on Facebook, but I'm only a consumer of their life information. True meaning and hope comes from connection. Zechariah had run out of hope, but he was connected into God's story. God redeemed him and his wife from shame, and they had a real hope in what God was doing. They were invited into perhaps the greatest connection between God and humanity. God was coming into the world in flesh and dwelling with us. God was connecting with his creatures and creation. We were not left to our struggles, but God entered into them. Christmas is about the time when God came so that we would never be alienated from him again. He came to remove every barrier so that the fear and guilt that we experience in life that keeps us from moving and running forward, keeps us just going in our day-to-day lives and ticking off to-do list boxes. He came to tell us that those places were not where we would find our value. Resonance and connection are not just for children, but he came so that we could forever be connected to the creator of the universe. So now it is the time that I have a question for you. I want to know where it is that you experience connection and resonance. Now, I mean those moments in your life that you feel where you connect with something greater. It's not just completing a task, but doing it with purpose. Now, they can be happy or sad moments, hard or easy, spiritual or mundane. Now, I think we all want to say that it's through prayer and singing worship songs that we feel connected and resonance, because that's the right Christian answer. But I know that that is not always the case. It's not every time. So I want you to think about what's happening when you do feel that connection with something greater. What makes life poignant? Now, I'll get you to get into groups. You can be general or specific, depending on how you feel, and just talk about how it is that you feel resonance and connection. And I will bring the microphone around and we can share some of these discussions with us. Go. You have 5 minutes. Your time starts now. Okay. okay, I'll get those conversations to pause there, and you can continue them at church lunch today. But does anyone want to share what their group talked about? Oh, Shannon's coming. No. would anyone like to share what they... Jenny? Or you were pointed at. There you go.
I've been just telling these two nice people about my baptism, and I'd like everybody here to think carefully or strongly, or I would like to encourage everyone in this church to be baptised, and I'm sure that Paul would love to do it. Okay, thank you.
Great. Did any of the other groups talk or anything to say about how we experience resonance, what sort of things help us to experience connection with the world and the greater meaning of things? Sally?
So we spoke, well, I spoke about music and the others agreed as well, and just not necessarily a Christian artist, but my example was just Coldplay, sometimes listening to their songs, and I thought Paul might be around because he would have enjoyed this as well. Just the way that they can put some lyrics together that you think maybe you've had some experience that's so unique to yourself, and then you realise actually other people also have that experience, so having that connection there. And then like Shannon said, like going to a concert and that, you then have that shared experience of wow, all these other people know these lyrics as well and they mean something to them. And so just that shared point of music that brings people together and, yeah, connection.
Great. There's lots of talk over here. You don't have to. It can be your Christmas gift, is that I won't point a microphone at you. Oh? Ah.
I find a close connection with the Lord when even just walking to work and smelling the smell of the jasmine and thank Him for that. And creation in itself, how intricate it is, reminds me of how great our God is.
Mine sounded kind of, well, through what we've been through this year, it's been in the very meaningful close times are through grief and through when we really fall on our, you know, on our knees and come to our lowest ebb, so to speak. That's a time that I've found that I've come very close to God, and you become very open with those around you. You talk like you wouldn't normally.
I don't recognise miracles until after they've happened, quite often quite a long time after they've happened. And then I feel really guilty that why didn't I see that in the first place? And I've got a little pigeon that lives next door, and he's not perfect because he's lost a key feather, and so he can't fly. Doesn't need to fly because Helen feeds him, Helen gives him shelter and Helen gives him water. But he trots around and I look at him and I think, how wonderfully you are made with all those glistening purples on his neck. And I just think of God as being the God of detail, and it brings me to my knees and thinking, well, you know, you've got a long way to go to get me perfect by any means, but his perfection in nature is just amazing. And it just, with a silly little pigeon called Percy, it just brings me to that closeness to God's abilities, and he shows off with his beautiful colours too. He's allowed to. And there you are.
Wonderful. I can relate to most of those. Did anyone else have anything they wanted to share? Great. Now I have the right answer to how you should feel connected. I know I can sometimes get in a rut of doing things where I just do them over and over and over again, but then I'll get a phone call from someone who has some serious grief in their life. So I got a call from Lorraine to say that her sister was dying and she needed to go on a plane to go to WA recently. And so I prayed with her, and in that moment, I knew that God had something special for us all. This, suddenly, the day-to-day, everything felt very important. God had something bigger planned for us, something that we could hope in. I often feel that my times of worship and prayer feel more connected to the Creator when I am not doing things on my to-do list, but it's at times of increased stress or also increased joy. My prayers feel more alive and God feels near. As we go into Christmas, our times are going to be filled with completing tasks and social functions, or we might feel alienated because we don't feel so busy and everyone else seems to be. The hope of Christmas is that Jesus was born to end alienation. He came to bring real connection between us and our Creator and the world. Now, slowing down so we're less busy might be impossible for many of us, but you still might be able to notice what is going on around you. When you see the joy of children whilst it is manufactured at Christmas, it's the joy that God longs for you, the joy that you can share in Him as Roland shared at communion. When you see the sad or the hard things this Christmas, know that Christmas means that your Creator came to connect with you, to put an end to those things. Notice it in the lives of each other. Connect with each other in joys and sorrows, the good and the hard. We can hope in Christmas because we know that there is greater meaning to the story of the universe, and we get to be part of it. If you're feeling like hope is hard, remember Zechariah, who felt like he had seen the end of his journey and what was lost was now gone. And God came and connected with him. The hope of Christmas is that Jesus was born to bring us close to our Creator. So this Christmas, look for his joy, resonance, and connection in everything. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are the God who came to connect with us. You are the God who loves to show us your joy and your hope, despite how hard it can feel for us at times. This Christmas, as we have busyness or non-busyness, as we have lots to do, lots to think about, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to see your connection and your resonance in this world. We'll be able to see why the world matters in our lives. And I pray, Lord, we'll be able to show others that hope too. I pray all these things in Jesus' name for your glory. Amen.